It's that time again, and we're on. Yeah. No time to prep. You're on, wow. Whether you like it or not. Welcome to another episode, another program, people, of American Riddle.
Podcast voice. Oh, this sounds fake.
It was fake. don't ruin my parade, Mariam Tazi. Welcome to the show.
What's up, Malcolm?
You know it.
How's it going?
Hold on for the ride. It's the real deal. I'm like Holyfield. You know what I mean?
Really?
Evander.
You think so?
What do you know about Evander Holyfield?
A little bit.
He's a champion.
He's a big dude.
Pretty big guy. Yeah. Bought a big house in Atlanta. Hot Atlanta is what they call it.
Who calls it that?
They do.
They? Who's they?
I don't know.
Oh.
Same people that call North Carolina North Cackalacky. But some people call it North Cackalack. Well, I call it North Cackalack. I've heard actual Carolinans. Is it Linans?
I have no idea.
Call it North Cackalacky. I drop the E and just say North Cackalack. I mean, that's how I do it.
Yeah, I never heard that before.
You never heard it. Hotlanta?
No, I've heard Hotlanta. I hadn't heard the Cackalack.
It's hot. So why do they call it Cackalack?
I have no idea. You tell me. You're the one who introduced me
like to it.
Because
they like khakis. Think that's what...
Then you're that from there. You wear khakis all the time.
I do. I just got a fresh pair of Dickies today, and I got a new belt.
Is it cheapo? Like,
no, this is the
that's
real
a nice
deal.
Belt.
This is the real deal.
It's a nice
like,
belt.
It's got a thing on it. Come here and touch my belt.
All right.
Well,
just not even
people,
touching
you don't
yet.
Know what's going on. She's don't do that, well, Mariam.
I'm not even like close to you.
How
what are you trying
you?
To show me?
I don't believe she just did that. People, can you have an X-rated podcast?
No.
Here, look.
What are you trying to show me?
Double whoa.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Said.
That's actually really, really nice.
That's what they all say.
Who's they?
I don't know. It just sounded good for the second. A little wound up today. Well rested.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's rare for you.
Yeah.
Actually.
I rested today. Went through papers.
Oh.
Just moved at my own. I think what it is, I just moved at my own pace today. So
that's nice.
A lot of times I'm usually being rushed to be somewhere or to do something and your heart gets jacked up, sweaty. You know, I just got up when I wanted to get up, went to the gym.
That's nice.
Had to work out, you know what I mean? Do some calisthenics, you know what I mean?
How did that go?
Had to do some good, actually, yeah.
Long workout?
Yeah, probably.
Probably?
I don't know. I never
timed
it. Do
you work out for like 2 hours?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's like usually like an hour and a half, 2 hours. I mean, I do like 30 to 40 minutes cardio before I even do anything else. Takes me a little longer to warm up my joints, people.
Yeah.
So, got to get nice and warmed up, and then I jump into the mix doing karate kicks like Bruce Lee.
Really?
No.
I want to see you kick
I
like
can't
that.
Do a kick at all.
You can kick here. If you show me your like, belt, I want to see you kick.
Kick like Steven Seagal. That's it.
Oh, my God. You should have seen this. It's like
kick.
A little.
It's like a three-year-old.
Yeah, it's like totally.
That's the best it gets, people. I'm like Steven Seagal. Like is it Seagal or Seagal?
I've heard Seagal, but.
But the real pronunciation is Seagal. I had a friend. What?
Really?
No.
Seagull? Like the seagull?
That's how you pronounce it, right?
No.
Oh.
The bird?
Bird of prey. No. Steven Seagal. Yeah. He wouldn't kick hard or far. But if he got you tangled up, you're done.
Yeah, for some reason.
Yeah, he would bend your wrist.
Yeah, really badly.
That was his move. He'd bend your wrist, and then he would like chop you. He did like a chop.
Yeah, but it
like
seemed to
throat.
Be in the spots that were really vulnerable.
In the neck. gouge your eye or something.
You die.
Like that. Oh, you fucked up. He's a big dude.
I guess, yeah. Dude. I guess you could die if he karate chopped you in the neck.
Steven Seagal. He was it for a minute. Then he just
did a lot of movies for a minute. They're all bad.
The '90s.
All really bad.
No, above the law.
I don't remember which ones. He was the same person in everything.
That's good.
Yeah, but I can't tell the difference between the movies, so I have no idea what I've seen and what I haven't.
Miriam Tazi is going off on Steven Seagal, people. Yeah, I'm calling him Seagal.
That's fine.
Steven Seagal did Above the Law, which was the joint. And then he did the one with the Jamaicans. What was that called?
I don't know. Mm. Man.
I'm going to tell you right now.
All
right,
look it up.
He did... Oh, man, he did a whole bunch.
Yeah.
He's got a bunch of, like, straight-to-video things, too.
Of course he
Horrible.
Does.
just tore his career up just with the straight-to-video. Sometimes you shouldn't even do a straight-to-video. I don't think
they know that.
But I don't know. Maybe the pay is just good, and you're just a working actor, keep insurance and all that. So, I mean, he's got to work.
That's true.
This man's got to eat.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. Marked for Death. That was the one. Yeah, great film. Hard to Kill. He played Mason Storm. Oh, man. Started in 88 with Above the Law. Hard to Kill. I think Marked for Death was the... that was the one with the Jamaicans. They had Swords.
Swords.
Yep. Swords. That was hardcore, man. And it was two Jamaicans.
Ooh.
Must came in to sell crack. And then he hit it big when he did Under Siege.
I remember that one.
Yeah, that was with Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, I remember that
Fucking one. Tommy Lee Jones has looked the same age since frickin'
ever.
1992. I mean, damn. It's with Gary Busey.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's right. Wow, why are we talking about Steven Seagal?
He needs to kick more. Then he did On Deadly Ground, Under Siege 2. I'll tell you the movie that he did was really good. It was Executive Decision with Kurt Russell.
That was the one
when he got killed in the first 5 minutes of the movie. Got sucked out of the jet.
For once he died.
It's good. No, it's good when they do stuff like that because it throws you off as the audience because you're watching like, oh, damn! That motherfucker just got sucked out. He got sucked out of the damn jet.
I guess that's a surprise.
Mm.
And he still gets paid.
Yeah. So I had an interesting drive.
Why?
Over here.
Well,
It was, I hate people cannot, they can't.
Drive?
Drive. Yes, I think people, I know you already know this. If you live anywhere in the U.S., there's something in the water because people just can't drive, especially in the Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia, Maryland area. They suck. They suck. Little rain.
Ugh,
can't drive.
Everybody's
doing 40. You know, hitting their brakes. Don't know what to do. Killing me, man. All up in my way. Just hit the gas, man. Just go.
Whatever. I don't. Ugh.
But it's not just the rain. It could be
wind.
Yeah. It could be the wind. If it's too sunny out.
Yeah.
They slow down. There's a cop driving. There's a cop on the other side of the highway. They slow down.
Yep. They want to see what's going on.
Drives me crazy. I go insane.
You drive a lot, too, so.
I drive. Yes. I log on the miles, and I see it all.
Yeah. You have a lot of patience here.
Speaking of driving, I don't know if I talked to you about this.
Uh-oh.
I've been teaching Justin how to drive.
Yeah, you told me that he does.
That's right. My 11-year-old.
How's
he
doing?
He's not out in the street or anything like that. But
like a parking lot or something?
We did it once or twice in a parking lot. And then I did it once in a open field where you had like basically 100 feet to drive around in a circle.
Cool.
And, you know, my son's a big guy, so he's not sitting in my lap. When I was a kid.
I was going to say, he can reach, right?
Yeah. Well, he's not sitting on my lap. It's like having a man sit on your lap. Ain't going to happen, all right?
He's funny.
So,
hey, Dad.
At first I was going to do that, and I'm like, oh, well, you're a big guy, man. I mean, his legs are big as mine. So we can't fit, for one. And then it just feels kind of weird, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, granted, he still mentally a child.
He is.
So he doesn't know any different. He's just sitting on his dad's lap. I just think it's weird. So okay. That being said, I was like, just get in the driver's seat, man. You're just going to drive. You know, no big deal.
It's a huge deal for him.
I was like, just don't push down on anything.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Don't push
good
down
advice.
On anything. It's like, just gently become one with each instrument.
Nice.
Every instrument, you'll feel it. You'll feel the engine. You'll feel the gas. You know, when you tap on the brake, you'll feel that. Everything you can feel. It's like, don't worry about it. First thing he does, puts one foot on the gas, one foot on the brake. You don't use 2 feet, man. What's wrong with you? This ain't a video game. 2 foots.
That's cute.
2 foot.
Yeah.
Nah, and I just kind of showed him how to position himself, take it out of park. You just coast. I said, the engine's going to pull it. It's like the transmission, the engine's going to work as one that's going to pull it.
Right.
So you don't even have to do anything. Just feel it, and, you know, when you got to make a turn. So, yeah, he did it very good. And, you know, when he came back around, he had to go up a hill. So he had to apply, you know,
a little
some
more
pressure on the gas.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you like that?
Yeah, he was a little nervous. But I said, just relax. I was like, just relax. I was like, when I first started learning to drive, my biggest thing was I would never relax. And I was tense all the time.
Mm.
I was scared.
Mm.
So once you learn to relax, you're good.
That's true.
So
I haven't been driving for very long, so
it's exciting, I guess, for a child.
Of course it is, especially
like,
a
I remember
boy.
My dad used to let us. We would sit in his lap. And
how young were you when you learned when you started?
I don't know. Maybe sitting in his lap when I was. I don't know. Maybe 9-ish. In the lap.
Yeah.
I don't think my old man ever, but when I was like, I don't know, 14 or 15, he would let us go up in a field or something like that. But my mom would freak out.
Yeah. My dad, nope. Dad's not like that. Mm-mm.
But it's something they should do. Like I told my son,
super stressed person.
Hey man, I'm giving you pearls. I'm teaching you stuff your class and never teach you.
Of course.
I'm showing you the ropes.
That's the way to
you
do
know?
It.
Got to put it in and drive, man, and go. That's what you got to do. So, yeah.
He's probably telling all his friends, dude.
Well, it's not like he's driving a Range Rover.
It doesn't matter what kind of car. The
it
fact
doesn't
that
matter.
He's in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
It's
no, I'm
amazing.
In the passenger seat.
Or he's the driver's,
yeah, he's in
driver's,
the driver's
seat. Sorry. He's always in the passenger seat, usually. Well,
yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
He must be excited. He's probably going to want to do it more and more.
Mm. No, I asked him today. Or yesterday, I said, do you want to drive a little? He just kind of looked at me. He rolls his eyes. Kids don't. They'd rather be playing their video games and stuff like that. Like, I would have killed when I was coming up if somebody was like, here's the keys. You want to drive? Hell yeah. In the field? Hell yeah.
Yeah,
just in a straight line
different.
In the parking lot? Hell yeah. You kidding me? I'd drive anywhere.
Yeah.
Anything.
Just
I don't care what it was. Just to drive. It's like a piece of freedom. But see, there's so much free stuff these days. So the kids, they don't care.
It's true.
You know, like for me, getting on a bike, that was a piece of freedom to go outside, to get away, get up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get out and explore. That was free. Nah, kids today.
They don't care.
You can go up in neighborhoods, you don't see any bikes, no hoops, nothing. No one throwing rocks.
There's
you
nobody
I mean?
Out there.
Go out there and, you know. He's watching some show last night, something, some, TV show on Animal Planet, I believe, where they build tree houses. And they're really elaborate tree houses.
There's some cool ones out there.
Yeah. And I'm like, man, those aren't tree houses. Those are experienced carpenters, men building houses in
trees.
The tree. I was like, that's not the fun of it. I used to go and hijack wood from a construction site. And I'd take, you know, as much as I could carry. And then I'd come back the next day and pick up some, and then I'd find some from a neighbor's yard, find
whatever
little pieces
grab.
And scraps, and find an old carpet and build it. I mean, that was the fun of it.
Yeah,
if mine is perfect and is insulated, and it's got like a dome ceiling, this lady had like a dome ceiling, and she's, oh yeah, this is redwood, and these are the branches. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Wow.
It looks cool. Looks like the Ewok village, but come on, man.
Yeah, that's kind of
she's
weird.
Like, I needed a quiet place to retreat.
Oh, and home is not that?
Rich people, man, you know.
Okay.
They're so bored with their lives. They're so bored. They don't know what to do with it. Then they make these TV shows. And it is cool. I get the entertainment value. you know, of doing it. But, you know, I'm the type of guy, if I see, I
what?
Let me get my words
get
together.
Get it out.
I never had TV shows like that. It was just the imagination. Just go out there and get it. Do it. Just do it. How hard is it, you know? But if you see something like that, of course you can aspire, and I get it. It's cool. It's the creative aspect of it. It's just like all the other shows. But at the same time, you know, they're not going to come out perfect like that. You got to go out there and get dirty, get your hands. I mean, these dudes.
It loses the charm, you know.
Yeah, these dudes are carpenters and engineers and architects.
It's not fun. The whole point is that you, like, have a part in it, right?
I don't even know the name of the show. It look, there were some cool tree houses, no doubt. But at the same time, you know, climb a tree and get up there and you just take. Find,
I just,
you know, like eight pieces.
Climbing trees. Yeah. That was just fun for me. I didn't need the whole
We would find eight pieces of wood and just use them, nail it in the side, and then we'd have the ladder. And then we tie a rope up there, and it's a rope swing. Then one
there
day we find some 2x4s, and then we, yeah,
yep.
And we add that to it. And then, you know, before you know it, we got
this
it.
This is your tree.
This is my fort.
Yeah, exactly. We used to make forts all
this
the time.
This is my fort.
Oh,
you know about making forts. I can go out here.
Some pretty good forts in some of my friends' basements. We took over the basements. It was like that for a
those long. Are the sheet forts.
Yes. Sheets and pillows and sofas. Yeah. Indoor
forts. When you put the
everything.
Books on there.
Man,
everything. Make the sheet fort.
Everything we could
you
find.
You stay out because
it was awesome.
Bears
the
or
whole
something.
Basement was like covered. You couldn't. Yeah.
These
awesome.
Are the forts. And then you get really creative and you're like, I wonder if I can put a light under
oh,
here.
Oh, we had different rooms and we had different exits. Yep. We had the backyard. It's fun. Yeah. Good times.
Yeah, forts are great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you might catch kids doing that stuff, but I mean, you got the games. What was the game that just came out that sold
Grand
1
Theft
billion.
Auto or yeah, whatever?
1 billion in a few days. That's insane. Mm. But it's cool, though. I mean, you know, that's a version of escapism that's that's out there, but. I just wonder how much, how many people's hands are really getting dirty, scratched up.
Soft hands out
soft.
There.
Soft. We talked about it the other day offline. A lot of men out there with soft hands.
Softness.
Soft hands. Straight up. I'll shake someone's hand sometimes, and when I go to shake it, I go, oh, because I'm shocked. It's like a
delicate.
Sometimes I can't even tell. Men from women. Like sometimes I
could
be somewhere.
Just by the
like,
handshake.
I open the door or something. Like, excuse me, or like, pardon me, excuse me, sir, ma'am, and just can't figure it out. What's going
you
on?
Just call
the
them
haircuts.
Both.
Yeah, haircuts and the styles, and some of the guys are just really soft skinned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, granted, they'll grow the beards, but the
peach fuzz beard.
It just looks kind of painted on. It's almost like a. I don't know, man.
Patchy.
It looks different, you know? And then they got that, we talked about the tats, you know, they got the whole.
Look hard.
Yeah, everyone's got a tattoo. Everyone's got the sleeve or something, some sort of scribe
or,
written. Written
piercings.
On their, written on their inner arm or something. I don't know, whether it's tribal or whether it's some scripture,
mm-hmm.
you know? That they're a deep thinker or something. Yeah, no, cocksucker. All right? You ain't sharp. All right? What are you doing? Straight up. You know? Like, they used to be real. And I'm not saying some of these cats aren't real musicians, but there were musicians that did heroin. There was musicians that did coke.
Not that
there
we're
was musicians
that.
That woke up in the morning and drunk liquor. And those were the guys with
That's
the sleeves.
Those are the ones that died at 27.
Well, they also earned. A tattoo used to be something that you earned. You stayed out at sea. For like 9 months or some shit, and you got your tattoo, whatever it is. Could be a panther, mom, an anchor.
Speaking anchor.
Yeah, something. Something. But you earned it.
Yeah.
Or you were at war, or you were, you know, in the joint, you know what I mean? Breaking rocks, working on the chain gang, and you earned that tattoo. Now you just, you know, if it's something cool, your boy can draw, your girl is an artist, you know what I mean? Graphic designer, boom.
That's true.
I got this design. It's fresh. And it looks good on 21-year-old skin. You know what I mean? It looks really good. You know, some of the girls, they got their little scribe on, something little on the neck. Something there. It looks good on 20-something-year-old skin. I wonder what's going to happen when the skin starts
to sag.
Yeah.
Droop.
And then will it still mean the same thing? Another thing I can't get, not even that. What's the deal with the tattoo on the foot?
Here on the top?
Yeah.
Foot? A lot of people wear flip-flops. It's another spot where it can be seen. But that place, that hurts. I heard that hurts a lot. A lot of bones.
Yeah, I see a lot of tattoos on calves, on ankles, and on the top of the foot. Like the porn girls, they wear the tattoo. Yeah, they got the stars and stuff. I've heard that they have these tattoos.
He's staring at my feet right now.
I've heard that they have these tattoos. I've never seen it. But, uh-huh. I had to do some research before the podcast. Some tattoo research.
Mm-hmm.
But they, a lot of the fashion that comes, you know, comes in play with the mainstream, you know, a lot of stuff that comes out of the porn industry or the music industry, the film industry, it makes its way into, you know, mainstream USA.
Yes.
So somehow foot tattoos from the porn stars have made it in.
You think that's the origin?
Yeah. 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 It came. I've been jacking off for a long time.
So you're sure that's where it started.
to tattooed
and
foots.
And staring at feet. You've been staring at feet and jacking off for a long time.
Oh. No. But they also had, you remember back in the day when the girls had the blonde hair and the brunette part and it would be like layered? Like
ombre?
I don't know what it's called, but that's porn style. Any of
you
guys,
dark on the top and then lighter on the bottom?
Or ombre. Vice versa, yes. And many of you guys listening, you guys back me up. A lot of that stuff comes from the porn industry. I've seen things.
I'm surprised you're looking at their hair.
I notice everyone's hair.
You do?
Yeah. Yeah.
I notice people's hair more than, yeah, actually. Yeah. I would notice immediately.
I notice their hair
on
their feet.
Yeah, there you
it's
go.
It's weird, huh?
No.
Kind of creepy.
Now you're realizing.
Kind of weird.
Are you disturbing yourself?
I'm kind of weirded out by the whole tattoo on the foot because it just doesn't
Why?
Make any sense.
Just
because
it came from porn, if you so you say actually
it
I
did.
Don't know.
I'm telling you, we can look it up on the internet, but be careful. No. You put foot in porn, you might get more than what you
it's
bargained
not time for.
For
that right now.
Don't Google that. Jeez, you might have a virus on your phone.
Oh no, I don't want to.
Getting
do that.
All sorts of emails,
yeah,
coupons. Value packs.
Looking at me definitely knows. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know either. I'm just freestyling. Letting it rip. You people heard it here first. This is where you come to learn nothing on American Riddle, people. Nothing.
I'm sure they learn a little something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the origins of something. Hairstyles. And foot tattoos.
I feel like some people are going to do some research tonight or
airs. But some of these cats, you know, they're running around. They got this look. I just wonder, like I said, with the tattoos, I mean.
You don't think it's sexy?
Well, no. Yeah, on some women, yeah. But it just.
You don't get it.
I don't know. It's just so much going on. But it started, as like you said, with the earrings and the nose
rings
piercings.
And the piercings.
Remember, like, what was it, the 90s, the piercings and the tongue and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And
belly button.
Yeah, 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 the belly. And the toe rings. The rings, the jewelry.
I mean, you know.
Jewelry.
That's
never got that one. Never understood that one. Never understood.
I was thinking about bringing that back.
An anklet bracelet on the
it's
ankle.
Pretty.
Well,
it's
I guess.
Pretty.
I was thinking about bringing the gold chain back. Yeah,
exactly the same, but okay. It's really thin on the ankle.
Yeah, women can pull off a lot of stuff and make it look good. It's true. I never understood the toe ring, though. No, never understood that one. Never liked it. Never understood. Give it a pass.
Well, you know, there's rings that like stop halfway through the finger and stuff now, and there's all kinds of
that.
I
don't
that.
Understand that either. Not
it's
my
all
stuff.
Over.
It's generational.
You don't like thumb rings either. You probably hate
I don't
that.
Like thumb rings on dudes. Who is this guy? When I see a thumb ring
he's
on
an
a dude,
artist.
Yeah, he's a douchebag. That's what he is. I don't understand the thumb ring. You know,
I don't see it very often anymore. It's very rare. But the whole
I'm not gonna lie, I had a thumb ring one time.
Why are you hating on
I'm
it?
I'm a douchebag.
No,
I didn't have that type
true.
Of thumb ring. I had it was a tortoise shell, and it was a gold ring. I used to wear big a
tortoise shell
in the 80s. I used to wear. Like trunk jewelry. It was called trunk jewelry. It's big.
You've mentioned this
big
before.
Yeah.
And I still want to see pictures.
There are none. I had a, it was a a shell of a tortoise. It was pure gold, and it was huge. And I had a ring for every friggin' finger, and I put it on my thumb. It was like a big shield. It basically covered my whole finger.
You couldn't bend it, huh?
No need to bend it. I don't even bend it when, with no rings. Why do you bend your thumb? For what reason? Every time you see me.
You do put thumbs up all the time.
No.
You don't have to play video games?
I don't play games.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's the only reason.
Yeah. My thumb barely bends.
What are you talking about?
It's broken.
It's fine. Stop.
I used to wear jewelry. I can't be that hard on people that wear jewelry. Because like I said, I used to, if I could find some pictures of the amount of gold I used to wear, it's insane.
You don't wear anything now. Nothing.
I can't. It bothers me.
On your skin?
It was a task for me to wear that back in those days. It was just part of the, I guess it was part of the I don't know. It was just like wearing a baseball cap or something like that. It was just part of the show. I don't know. I have no idea. Probably, I don't know. It was just part of the statement. I guess no different than tattoos or anything else. Everyone's got their own statement. So yeah. In a way, I can't really knock it because I guess I had my thing and
trends.
People today have their thing and I shouldn't be that hard on them. Hmm. Wear your feet tattoos, people. You know?
Just do it.
Yeah. So I just don't like bad tattoos. Don't get a bad foot tattoo.
Bad,
you know what I mean?
I have no tattoo.
Yeah, you're better off. I'm telling you. You gotta explain it to your grandchildren later on. Mm. You'll forget the meaning of it.
I hope not. Huh? I just never felt like I would be attached to something. I don't know. I just never.
It's a craze.
I couldn't pick anything that I really wanted.
I think it took off forever. Like a lot of people, like in the 80s and 90s, it started snowballing with Tommy Lee from Motley Crue, and then Dennis Rodman, and then from Dennis Rodman, Tupac, and just the collective of just stuff like that. When people see it and someone else gets it, it's contagious.
Yeah, a lot of people in basketball have their arms
tatted up. They're tatted. The whole NBA is. Yeah. It's rare to see someone not tatted up
That's
these
true.
Days.
That's
you know what I mean? True. You know it's weird when you go to like some retail establishment and the manager has like a neck tattoo or a fucking teardrop. What the fuck? What happened here? I mean, damn. Are you kidding me? Or they have the piercing that comes through the face. Man, what the hell's going on? So, it's just... No, I've seen it, you know? I've seen it. I've seen the manager where you go to a retail establishment and the Joker has a Bluetooth phone thing
That's
in his ear.
Just not right.
I'm like, man, are you really going to miss a call? You ain't Trump. What the hell's wrong with you? Give me that thing. I'm going to just start doing stuff like that. Just going off. I was in a retail...
Don't you?
Yeah, I do.
What are you going to start?
I do. I was in a retail establishment the other day, man. This cat came... I get this a lot. And I want to be in this club. Let me explain it to you. Mm. I was in a retail establishment. And I get this... probably depending where I'm at, I might not get it tonight, but I get someone who's Spanish will come up in Espanol, you know, they will want to speak Spanish to me or whatever, you know, so I get it a lot. Just walking in the street, in a grocery store, somebody needs to know what time it is, anywhere. So I was standing around one day, the other day somewhere, and a couple came up to me, but I get it where they come up to me and sometimes they're happy because they may be amongst a group of people that don't look like them. And then they see me. So as they're coming, it's almost as if they're scared and they're looking around. And then all of a sudden they come close and they kind of smile. Espanol. And oh no, I'm not Spanish. Not Spanish. No. And then they back away. I want to get the feeling where I say, si, senor. And they embrace me with a hug. Because have you ever seen
I don't know if they embrace, but there's a
have you ever seen? Have you ever
had that happen to me when I speak another language?
And do you see the happiness that comes?
It completely. I told you about the Bed Bath & Beyond experience with Ali.
I want to feel this feeling. of
camaraderie.
Yes. I want to feel this because they're always kind of timid. And they're like walking and they're scared and they look up and they're not sure who I am.
I don't have that happen.
Or where I'm from. Or what side of the fence could he be? Is that him? Is he one of a... Is he?
No.
Oh. Damn.
Aww.
And that's what it is. You could hear the air
disappointment.
Just disappointment in their face and their body language. I don't connect.
Seems like you're disappointed about that too.
That's what I just said.
Learn Spanish.
I can't even learn English, woman. Have you lost your mind?
Spanish is not that hard.
So this dude comes in the other day, and I'm like, I can't remember which store I'm in, and so I'm hanging out, and this guy comes up. I don't know if they're lost or what. So he comes up to me and he's like, I couldn't hear him because there was a lot of noise and I was talking with someone, and I look up and it's this big strapping man.
Strapping
yeah,
man.
Is that a word, strapping?
Just haven't heard that description in a while.
Strong. He's like strong. He's like 6'3" and his queen was like, I don't know. She could have been 5'11". You know what I mean? Dark-skinned people. You know what I mean? Aztec. You know, they were like hardcore, like the first Spaniards or something. I guess Aztec and Spaniards is it kind of similar? So, very just big and black. You know what I mean? Just big people with dreads the whole nine, but not the big long dreads, the little short ones.
The twist.
I could see them out the corner of my eye, right? And then I look up and I'm talking to someone and I could hear for a second in Espanol, something like that, but I didn't. I just caught the end, and it was just made eye contact. I was like, "Whoa, look at this big black motherfucker!" You know what I mean? Your queen, she's big, big too. Big people, big, good-looking people. You know what I mean? Full. Everything was full, just full, like the chest and his mouth, big lips, full lips, full face, full. Right.
Okay.
Strong.
Totally,
he's built like the Predator, you know? So when I caught him, I looked and I was like, wow, you're a big one.
Really?
So I look up and then he starts talking, right? And he's like, blah, 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 blah. I couldn't understand a word he was saying. Man, he was fresh, man. I thought all he needed was the spear and the shield. You know what I mean? I was going to head for the hills. I knew he was coming. I'm dead serious. Is that wrong? Should I not have said that? I'm just saying. I'm just describing.
You're describing the events.
No, I'm just laying us for storytelling purposes.
I feel like I can completely
imagine.
Trying
to be racist or anything like that. I'm just saying he was a big man.
Dude.
Yeah. And, you know, he had features.
He's
and
full.
And his queen had features.
I like that you call her his queen.
They were king and queen. There's
like
no,
that.
No doubt about that. Boy!
I like that.
And I couldn't connect with him. And he was talking to my... And I could see his lips and his tongue. His big pink tongue, you know? And his red lips. And he was just big. Is that bad? It was, you know... I'm just saying, Miriam. That's all.
You think that makes up for it? I'm just saying.
I'm just saying. And I couldn't connect with him.
That's disappointing.
So I was banished from his kingdom.
Aww.
I was a pauper. I was like the fool of the
yeah.
court. Leave me.
Chester.
Yeah.
How do they call him?
Leave me.
You peasant, you.
Yes. Bring my ale. Bring me more ale.
More grapes.
Yes.
Feed me.
Yes. Yeah, he was a big guy.
Sorry you couldn't connect.
Couldn't connect.
I'm sorry.
I can't even connect with people who speak English.
That's not true.
Sometimes I just grunt.
That's true, actually. sounds, you know, tone and sounds.
Somebody, they say
mean
something.
A lot.
Somebody's in a jam of. There's different variations of it, too, you can do. Like if you're interested. You know?
Yeah.
I'm lost. I need help or something. Ask me a question and I'll just ask me just anything.
So where do you need to go tonight? Oh, you're just thinking about it. You're agreeing with me. I don't know what that one is.
That's it, you know, it's just
you can have a whole conversation with just making that's great. What does that one mean?
That's like if
I like that.
Or something shocking.
Your face. So what? Funny. The expression on your no face idea. Helps too.
I feel like I'm sweating though, trying to keep up with that. It's true. I can get by just with sound effects. I'm like R2-D2.
Yeah. You can. You make sound effects a lot.
Yeah.
During tastings and stuff too.
I do?
Yeah. What you I have. Do? I can't imitate them, but you'll do like different.
Who stuff. Knows what I'm doing?
It's great though. It helps break the ice a little bit.
You'd have to break it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was my adventures. Why was I even talking about this stuff? Something. Who knows? It's just a lot of adventures.
Yeah.
A lot of adventures, people.
Lots of stuff has been going on, I guess.
Too much. Yeah.
It's the end of summer, though.
Done. It's getting cool.
Sort of.
Got to break out the jackets, the Max Julians. You know what I mean? The fur coats. Be like Sir Mix-a-Lot. You know what I mean? Sir Mix-a-Lot used to rock the furs. You know, straight out of... He was like from Portland or somewhere. Seattle.
I think so.
They were Seattle rappers. You know what I mean?
People don't really wear furs anymore.
I saw a cat. What did I see a cat? I saw a cat over at Jam and Java the other day.
Oh,
yeah. The cat
yeah.
had a black fur on. Fur coat. White dude.
That's
white dude.
You told me
you know what I mean? He looked like a pimp.
That was the last time. Yeah.
He looked like he was a pimp from Cincinnati or somewhere. Just kind of out of place with a bright red shirt on. I thought he was a character or something, part of the show.
He wasn't. He was just a guest.
Patron. He
weird.
Was just. He was just. Just having his
a lot
beverage,
of weird people that go
watching
to
his show in his fur. He was chilling in Vienna, Virginia. Furs are making a comeback. I think in the Roaring Twenties, the men used to wear a lot of furs. Yeah, a lot of furs, and the women wore the finger waves.
The thingy.
No, the waves and the hair. They wore the bobs and the finger waves,
that's
and
right.
then yeah, they wore the little dresses with the stuff. So when you move, it makes it look like you're moving, but you ain't got to do jack shit because your dress would actually move. So if you didn't have skills, it would work for you. You know what I mean? So you just move your shoulders a little bit, and it would just go. It would just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What type of dress is that?
The
fringes or something, but little
flapper.
Beads or
is
something
it flapper?
Too. I have no idea. A lot of hand movements too back
yeah.
then, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm doing the dance. I did a dance like that when I was like 10 in school.
I always liked that era. Yeah, and they would move their leg a certain way too.
Oh, the
you know
cross
I mean?
Leg.
What was that all about?
It was a dance. Huh? I did a dance like that. I should find the video.
I told you before they should have brought tap dancing back.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Just break out and start tapping. Just break out in a room and just start tapping. It wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. You get booed off the stage. You get beat up. Huh?
Whatever. If somebody started tapping and they did it well, I would be, you know, I'd be entertained.
Shit.
I mean, it's not an easy dance.
No.
So many girls did tap, like, growing up, too. It was a big thing.
Girls don't do it.
They did, at least in my day. Tap and jazz. I did ballet.
Ballet's hard.
Yeah, it is hard.
Yeah, it's a tough. That's a skill.
It's all about perfection. All about the yeah. It's difficult. Very strict.
Hard on the foots.
Oh my, yeah. Points. Jeez.
Like Nicole Kidman, she played the movie The Black Swan.
Nicole Kidman.
Oh.
Natalie Portman. Right. I think Nicole Kidman.
God, it's hard doing a podcast, people. Like, the facts just get distorted. I mean, seriously, I don't know how many shows are like this. Just, I got to get a team together, get the podcast right, and feed me lines. Maybe I get one of those earpieces, like, in the newsroom.
No.
Like, doing the news, and then someone's just feeding me the facts.
How could you do that with headphones? I don't think that's possible. Or, like,
Yeah, you just have an inner. That would suck, though. It wouldn't
be really
original. I would get confused.
I couldn't have somebody talking.
I get confused. But if it's just spitting you the facts and just look up at the board and be like, Natalie Portman. that was actually Natalie Portman. You catch yourself. I misspoke.
I think it's better if it's written in front of you. Like,
who gives a shit? I say what I say.
Well, I got you. I got your back.
They don't like it. Fuck them. you know.
Maybe they should try to do it then.
It ain't easy.
No. But it's fun.
Yeah, I think that's what makes it more, you know, original, I think, more fresh. It's when you're just riffing off the top of your head and, you know, sometimes, you know, you just got to work it out. Just like I used to stress over that stuff, like, you know, just trying to make sure everything was just so, but it's never been that way. So you just keep on going and record and, you know, you'll build an audience. I have a small audience. We have a nice, personal, intimate audience.
Do we?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good audience. It's a great audience, actually.
Aww.
Yeah. So, I told you about the cop that came up to me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He gave me some feedback.
You just said, what did he say? Just
Showtime, yeah. Supreme.
That's all.
Hilarious.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's, you great. Liked the bit.
It was funny.
Yeah,
I thought it was really
funny. I sent out the Showtime Supreme signal. He hasn't replied. I'm going to have to shine it up into the sky again. Couldn't track down Showtime, but hopefully he'll make his appearance.
He's always on the move.
Well, you know, he's got a lot of, he's got a large stable. He's got a large stable he's got to manage. You know what I mean? Pimping ain't easy.
I know.
No, it ain't easy. Shit. Yeah, what's so funny? It's not easy.
Just making me think of the song.
Which one?
Pimpin' Ain't Easy, huh?
There's a lot of pimpin' songs. Whose song is that? Which one's that
I
one?
I think
that was Big Daddy Kane, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Yeah,
good
that song.
Call.
Yeah. I know my hip hop.
I know.
I know that stuff. All sorts of stuff going on in hip hop too.
Well, Rock the Bells is happening here.
Yeah, whole crew
is it
coming.
Next weekend? Yeah, next weekend. Talib is going to be here.
That's going to be the joint.
It. Yeah.
When is it?
Saturday and Sunday next week at RFK.
This weekend coming up?
The 28th or whatever.
So it's this weekend. I always get that confused.
I don't know this or next.
Yeah.
I don't know how Americans call. I don't know.
Yeah, I always get confused.
The 28th and the 29th. So this weekend is, it's Saturday today. So next weekend.
Rakim's going to be there, I think?
Yes. Mm. I just.
Yeah, that should be good. 2 days?
Show. Yeah.
I'm not going to be there. I got to work a book fair.
Oh, yeah.
This weekend. We're going to be doing some wine.
That's true.
We're going to be working the wine wagon.
Yeah, don't forget to take pictures in there. I want to see what it looks like on the inside.
Baltimore. I have no idea what to expect.
It should be a good turnout.
Yeah.
Why not?
Oh, it should be. I have no idea. I have no idea what to expect. I have no idea what's going on. But,
just
I mean, we're just
going to
go out with Brian Bolter. God.
I like how you call yourself out immediately. This is funny.
My lip. Like quivered or something, man. I'm telling you, people, go out and get yourself a microphone and some headphones and just walk around all day and talk and just listen to yourself. You'll fuck up too. The hell y'all laughing at me for? Shit. You know, I'm not the only one. If you listen to yourself, you'll catch every mistake known to man. I'm not the only one that makes mistakes. Flubs. Know what they call it? Flubs.
Flubs?
Isn't it a flub?
I don't know.
It's a flub when you mess up.
Oh, is it? In the radio world?
Who knows?
I don't know.
What I'm talking about. A bunch of jibber jabber.
You're trying to spit out facts. I don't know.
No facts.
But you're going to do that event with Brian.
Yeah.
Bolter.
Mm. Yep.
That's
do a little
fun.
Wine event. We got the wine wagon. We're going to be pouring some wines on tap. Who knows what else? I stopped by my boy Cyrus Coleman. I'm going to get Cyrus Coleman on a podcast.
Cool.
You guys are going to hear a lot about Cyrus Coleman in the future, people. Cyrus Coleman and I go way back. Cyrus is a cool brother. You met Cyrus?
I don't think I ever have.
Cyrus is a cool brother.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Light-skinned brother. I think Cyrus is Persian. Curly hair.
Hmm.
He's had the same hairstyle since I met him 10 years ago. Hadn't changed one bit. He's the happiest dude I've ever met, though.
Aww.
He's a great guy.
That's cool.
Restaurateur. Yeah. He had a little problem. He called me up and he's like, he had to let his chef go in honor, I guess you'd say in honor or in defiance of the executive decision that was ordered against the chef. Since he was fired, the whole staff walked out.
Ooh.
Yeah, on the restaurant. So he said, fuck you, fired them all too.
Oh.
put a little ad out on Craigslist and rehired a bunch of new a new team in the day. Yeah, he turned that around quick. Damn. Could you imagine the pressure that's on people that own restaurants? Could you imagine that?
Yeah.
I mean, people don't know that. I mean, these guys, and then when people go to restaurants and they just carry on, or they treat servers like crap, or, you know, the establishment, you know, it's just, and I'm talking mom and pop. I'm not talking like, you know, Morton's
chains,
or Ruth's,
yeah,
Chris's or something like that.
Yeah,
I'm talking
that's
about
different.
These guys are out there, you know, trying to make it work and trying to, you know, create something nice, mm-hmm, and, you know, trying to give you a little taste of, you know, what they enjoy, mm-hmm, and, you know, a recipe or a dish from their family or something. You know, these guys are hard work. Like Saeed at Cafe Renaissance.
He works every single day. He hasn't stopped. He works so much.
He's a hard worker.
He's always there, man. He's always there.
Immigrant.
He's
an immigrant that came to the U.S. And it's, what is it, a French... Italian, or is it?
It's a French restaurant.
French restaurant in Vienna, Virginia, called Cafe Renaissance. And mm-hmm, ever since I've known him, happy. You know,
nice
of course
man.
He gets stressed. He gets stressed, but at the same time, his attitude, you know, nice people.
Yeah.
Hardworking people. Hard in their family. It's
you
good
respect
that their
family. That. How
yeah.
hard they work.
I like him. I remember when he started exercising and he got his 10 speed.
his bike.
He had a Schwinn Latour. Remember? And he had in the water thing where you hold the water.
He
had glass, sparkling Perrier water. I was like, man, you can't ride distance with the glass bottle.
Dangerous.
What the hell? And he was working out with the damn polo shirt on, damn collared shirt and the tight shorts. It's like, Saeed, man, come on.
Yeah, but he loved it.
He did.
Can't do it anymore.
Why?
He just doesn't.
His knee.
Maybe.
I
don't know.
I feel for him.
Aw. Old timers.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Bad news.
It ain't easy, motherfucker.
Hmm.
Yeah. He's a good guy. Great restaurant. Fun stuff.
I hope Cyrus, everything goes well with his restaurant, too, with his new staff. That's
hey,
tough,
man. They don't play, you know. The show must go on.
It's hard work.
It is. I mean, I wouldn't want to have a restaurant.
Yeah, my brother had a couple. Didn't work out.
What was
so
his were clubs, weren't they?
No, they were restaurants.
Were they? What kind?
American fusion.
Tell you didn't eat there.
No,
really?
They were in Maryland.
How come they didn't do like Moroccan?
Well, there were Moroccan rolls. There were some of my stepmom's like
Moroccan
meals.
Roll. What's that?
It was like linem. I don't know how to, like Moroccan rolls. They were rolls, briouettes.
A baguette.
No.
A baguette.
They're, no, they're Moroccan, like, egg rolls, basically, but, like, Moroccan stuffing. Ooh. With vermicelle and
the
stuff.
The egg rolls. It's just like the baked chicken.
Different stuffing, though.
It's just like the
different.
Baked chicken you have. It's just baked
It's not
chicken.
Baked chicken. It's chicken tagine, man.
It's the same
it's
thing. My grandmother makes it. When black folks make it.
I don't
it,
think they put saffron. It's different spices and
it's
stuff.
Still baked chicken. Baked All chicken right. is baked chicken.
I bet you we cook it a little different, but we
it's
then
the
that's cool. Thing. It's homemade. That's all that matters.
It's good.
That's
yeah, it's good. Tagine.
Yeah, I got to cook soon.
Jesus.
Cook here. Yeah.
Mm. So we got on the horizon, we got, what is it called? Blue Jasmine.
That's right.
It's Woody.
Woody Allen.
Woody Allen's new film.
That's right.
Now starring Kate Blanchett.
I love her.
I do too. She was in The
actress.
Aviator. I
She's
loved
amazing.
Her in The Aviator. She was in, what else was she in? Do you have it up?
No.
Not that fast, Maryam Tazi.
No, I'm not.
Not that fast.
Sorry.
If it was Steven Seagal, you would be on it.
No, I actually didn't even research him earlier. It was all you.
So yeah, Kate Blanchett's the star of this film. I want to see this film because the I just want to see some good acting. I want to see some. I want to be able to see something that's well written. I want to see that transcend onto the screen.
Cool.
Come across, and that's why I want to go see this film. Yeah, she was in The Curious Case of Benjamin Button with Brad Pitt. Mm-hmm. It was a really odd movie.
Yeah.
Good movie. David Fincher.
It's intriguing.
She's just a class act.
She's amazing. You know?
She was in Robin Hood, which that was a movie that got panned, but it was actually a good movie with Russell Crowe. He didn't sing in it. But
I never saw that.
You didn't see that? Mm-hmm. She was in Elizabeth, The Golden Age. Another great movie.
That was great. She was really
I never saw I'm Not There, where she played Dylan, Bob Dylan.
I couldn't get through that movie. I tried. I had it. I rented it.
Yeah, Aviator, she was great in. She was in Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
She was hot in that, man. God damn. Yeah, she's been in a lot of really good movies. I didn't know she was in A Talented Mr. Ripley. And she was in. She was also in Elizabeth, another great film she did.
She's
a class act. You don't hear a lot of stuff about her, though. You know, she does her job.
I respect.
I think
her.
She's married or she has children.
She's private.
Yeah, very private. But she's got respect.
She can transform.
Yeah, see, that's the whole thing. I don't get
skills,
like
where
we're at right now in society and where we're at, especially in the arts. We see so many times, and we talked about this in the last podcast, where so many women take that shortcut and they act, you know, how they think you should act, like, you know, wearing the short skirts or next to nothing or talking a certain way. You know what I mean? That image, mm-hmm. you know, like kind of like an airhead.
The cookie cut.
Yeah, yeah. Strange time. Really bizarre.
That's what works, I guess.
Well, it's always been that way, though. Mm-hmm. You always had. You know, the different, it's the same thing can be said with men too, but at the same time, I think women struggle a lot more in Hollywood because there's a lot stacked up against them, you know, because of perception and the image. But, you know, one thing about her, she's always carried herself. And there's a lot of women like that, like Nicole Kidman. She's like that. Yeah, I got her name right.
You meant her.
Nicole
right.
Kidman is a class act. Sandra Bullock also. I mean, these are women that have gone through some tough times with their relationships, and they've had ups and downs, you know, in their career.
Yep.
But they persevere and they stand tall, and they, you know, I'm sure they, you know, come on. We all have tough times in our life. You know, I wouldn't, you know, any of the breakups that I've been in or the problems that I've had, if it was captured in front of a television show, you know, it would suck.
Yeah,
if a camera was always in your face, I mean, could you imagine? You know, and you never know the full story. We just know what they tell us. And
yeah, that's true.
You just gotta, you know. But I at some point, I just quit even listening. I just kind of watch them, and if I judge them, I just judge them on their body of work. You know, I do that's the good. Same thing with Tom Cruise. You know, I just judge them on the body of work. Well, you know what
we
they
haven't
do.
Talked about him in a while.
Actually, you're wrong. We talked about him when we did Shoplifting the Pootie.
Oh God, that's right.
I did weave them in. I did manage to.
That's right, my
Tom
bad.
Tom Cruise is
sorry.
A man.
You'll
I thought about
win.
Tom Cruise the other day.
What a surprise!
I was in somewhere, a store or something. I saw this guy. He walked by, and I was like, "I bet you Tom Cruise is that tall." I don't even know why I thought that, but I was like, it's just weird. Just a weird thought.
I bet you that's how tall Tom Cruise.
How would I look next to Tom Cruise?
Taller.
No, but that's that was my thought I was having with myself, the conversation I was having with myself.
How would I look next mm-hmm. to Tom Cruise?
Yeah. And, you know, back what I was talking about, just the I guess you can call it the evolution of Hollywood or the many perceptions right. of Hollywood and how they perceive people. It's a funny thing because I wanted to share this with you.
What?
The Emmys the Emmys that I think they're coming on. They're having like a tribute to the actor that killed himself. What's the guy's name? He's from Glee.
Don't know.
Mm.
Never watched Glee.
Well, there's like a little bit of backlash because there's, you know, they do the in memory of
yeah, I remember
episode, mm-hmm. But I guess they're doing a like a feature somewhere within the Emmys of the actor, what is his name, Corey Monteith or something like that. Mm. Yeah, how do you say this guy's name? Glee star.
I guess, yeah, Monteith.
Yeah, so he killed himself, like, I don't know, a few months back or whatever. And Jack Klugman? Isn't that his name? He starred in, great actor. I mean, you may not have heard of him. He's an actor from back in the day.
The
he starred
couple.
As Quincy. That's right, Quincy.
Well, I was saying the odd
MD.
Couple.
I mean, he's a medical doctor. I used to watch that show religiously. All in all, it really wasn't my... It was like kind of like a mystery. He was kind of like a CSI before CSI came out. So this was back in the day. And yes, he was starring The Odd Couple. Great TV show. Just classics. Mm. So I guess they're just showing like he's just included in the pictures.
Oh, and that they're getting the same...
Yeah. But this guy was on the... And the argument is from his family, Jack Klugman's family, is, you know, he was in the forefront that shaped TV as it's known today.
That's
if
true.
Anyone should be highlighted. At the end of the day, man, hey, man, it's hard. Death is tough. When you lose a loved one, it sucks, you know. And, of course, everyone wants a monument. They want something, you know. But these shows, they don't give a shit. They're in it for the ratings, you know, and the here and now. And the here and now is Glee in that generation and the Kardashian generation. Who am I to say that they're greater than or less than Jack Klugman? But at the same time, just because I grew up on Jack Klugman, The Odd Couple, and Quincy and shows like that, I mean, a different era. Mm. There's three or four stations, and I've talked about this in a podcast. There's three or four stations, and I'd watch Quincy or The Odd Couple. Twilight Zone would come on, Mission Impossible, and then Benny Hill. Benny motherfucking Hill. You know what I mean? So your options were slim when it was like from like 11 to like 1 a.m. on a weekend. And those were some of the shows that you would see. But now you got 50 zillion channels.
Yeah.
And the stars are the ones, you know, a lot of them are the ones that are sucking cock. They're out there, you know, Kardashians are out there throwing their weight around Hollywood, doing everything under the sun. But I can't still knock them for what they're doing because in a way it's no different than what I'm doing. It's like there's no real difference. I can't be that judgmental. I can't like hate on them. They just they manage to parlay, you know.
Yeah.
What I think is funny and what I think is entertaining, it's their same concept.
Yeah.
And they're on a bigger playing field, you know.
That's fair.
I mean, yeah. I could easily point the finger because I think that we've kind of groomed ourselves as a society to make us, I guess, get us through the day and make us feel better. Be like, oh, you shouldn't be watching this or. You know, you shouldn't look at them over there and, you know, I wouldn't want my daughter watching this. But, I mean, you know, I don't think I want my son listening to my podcast. Some of the things that come out of my mouth. But at the same time, I mean, you know, it's the same. You know what I'm going with.
I do.
It's like, you know, who am I to judge? And you have to also take in perspective, you know, a grieving family.
Yeah.
You know, is a grieving family. It doesn't matter, you know.
Grief is grief.
Yeah,
it's hard.
Yeah. But at the same time, you got to take it. They should know they've been in Hollywood long enough that you can't take these shows seriously. If you want to do a tribute, come out with like the, you know, the HD download of Quincy or this or make a documentary and,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Get it out there.
Give it the respect it really needs.
Yeah, because, you know, people will find it. Like, if it's a good documentary, mm-hmm. people will find it.
That's true.
You know? And Jack Klugman, I think his contributions to Hollywood and television, I think they should be highlighted. Mm-hmm. I think that they, you know, there should be, if not a film or, you know, could be fundraiser or, you know, a scholarship or something like that. Mm. That's the way, you know, because when you piss and moan and this gets in the paper like this,
it's not cool.
You know, it just fuels the machines.
Yep.
The corporations.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But not that there's anything, you know, it's just a whole thing. It's like, you know,
what are you going to do? Focus.
I mean, I don't watch Glee, but I'm sure millions of people do watch Glee. And they find joy. And there's some 8-year-old right now that's watching Glee, or 10-year-old or 11-year-old. And he'll look back one day and this form of media will be, you know, his, you know, upbringing. Things that he remembered, and that, you know, this producer or this actor is going to be, you know, his Jack Klugman or something like that. You know, it's kind of weird to think that, you know, but I mean, there's a lot of Duck Dynasties and Kim Kardashian. I don't know how many Kardashian shows there are, but
there's a few.
There's a lot of reality programming going on.
Yeah.
But I mean, they were.
That's mostly what's on TV right now. That's where they make the money.
And, you know.
Because they don't have to pay actors.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
And it's like a set. It's like a. It's just easy money. It's all.
Well, I attribute that.
Structured
and I'm fine
in a
with that
way.
Because, I mean, who wouldn't take that? Like, if they said, hey, we want to do American Riddle TV show, you'll have this, this, and this. Of course I would jump at something like that. Who wouldn't? But at the same time, you have to understand something, too. That's just the latest and greatest. And a lot of it comes down to that the writers or the people that putting these things together, I think they've gotten a little soft, a little lazy. You know, I think they got a little soft and a little lazy in their creative juices, and they're not really, they're going after the quick and easy and what's hot now, and they're riding that, you
yeah,
know, they're riding that wave.
I can see that. I can really see that.
Because
actually.
when you put pen to pad, and you have to write jokes every day, or you have to write a script or a television show, and you have to come up with some fresh content. Like I said, the stuff that they put up every season somewhere, and all the mini shows that fail, and all the movies that fail. I mean, you can see. I mean, these guys, their necks are on the line, so they're trying to. They're riding that wave, and yeah, that wave's going to crash at some point.
That's true.
But the cream rises to the top, and there's some good programming out there. There's some good films out there, like it remains to be seen about Blue Jasmine with Kate Blanchett. See, I'm bringing this full circle.
Nice.
So with Kate Blanchett being the actress that she is, and what she's, and I don't even know what she stands for, nor do I care, because like I said, when it comes down to it, I'm with this person based on their performance, what they've done
her
in the
craft.
Past,
yeah.
present, and what they're lining up in the future. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's her, whether it's Tom Cruise, whether it's Sandra Bullock coming out with Gravity with George Clooney.
That's going to be so good.
Clooney, baby.
I'm excited
you know?
About
so,
that one.
You know, with that, you know, like I said, when you look at stuff like that, you know, it always, you know, we said this before on this podcast, the cream rises to the top. So with that, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back right after these words.
So what do you think?
I love it. You shouldn't spoil me so.
Well, why not? Who else am I going to spoil?
He met me at a party and swept me off my feet.
I fell in love with the name Jasmine.
You know, I have never been to San Francisco. I'll be staying with my sister.
Jasmine! Oh, my God.
Look at you. Your place is homey.
Oh, the flight was bumpy.
The food was awful. I mean, you'd think first class.
I thought you were tapped out.
I'm dead broke. Really, I mean, the government took everything.
All I can say is you look great.
Now who's lying?
Is there anything you want that you don't have?
Sweetheart, it's beautiful.
When your sister had all that money, she wanted nothing to do with you. Now that she's broke, all of a sudden she's moving in.
She's not just broke. She's all screwed up.
Cool off, you know? You hear me?
Excuse me. Are you talking to me?
Ginger told me all about you. One minute you're on top of the world, the next, that turns out to be a crook.
Well, how long are you planning on staying with Ginger?
No one wants to get out of here as fast as I do.
I'm sure this is a big come down from what you're used to.
You'll be very happy to know that I lost every cent of my own money.
Her husband was a slick operator. I was there a week. I knew the guy was hitting on a girlfriend.
But I can't.
You choose losers because that's what you think you deserve. And that's why you'll never have a better life.
She doesn't care about you. She's a phony.
Can you please not fight in here?
Don't think I can take it. For some reason, my Xanax isn't kicking in.
Anxiety, nightmares, and a nervous breakdown. There's only so many traumas a person can withstand till they take to the streets and start screaming.
Cuckoo! Guess who's back? That's right. You heard it here first, people. Would you hear it first? Tazi, what's up with you?
Hey.
Cat got your tongue?
No, I was reading. I was looking at this, what you put in front of me.
I put in front of you some of the stats, the facts of Blue Jasmine, a film.
Yeah.
By none other than, from none other than Woody Allen.
Yep.
Yeah. A dramatic piece.
It has funny moments.
Just drama right up in your grill. So yeah, people, we went, we took a break and went to go check out Blue Jasmine, starring Kate, the elegant, the graceful, the stylish, the beautiful, the smooth, yes, the spectacular Kate Blanchett.
Yeah.
And she's, I mean.
She came through.
She is something to behold. It's when you watch her in this film. If you get a chance to see this film, if you watch her in this film, you're witnessing genius at work. It's genius. It's as if you're watching, you know, if De Niro in his prime, or you're watching Jack in The Shining, or you're watching. You know, if you name any of the guys, if you look at the landscape of film today, I'd say it's dominated by female leads. I mean, you look at any film that I've talked about in the past.
That's true.
Has been written, directed, starring, dominated. It's a female landscape.
Interesting.
Women are taking over.
Yeah.
They're all over people. Actually, I think women have always ran things. It's you were just too dumb enough to recognize it. Dumb, we meaning men. I mean, it's not rocket science, people, but
it's a fair generalization.
It's something to see, especially someone who carries a movie the way she dominates this film. And she doesn't just dominate it. She doesn't just dominate it. Of course she dominates it with her acting skill. You know, when she's verbal, when she's communicating, but there it is. She dominates
it. Oh, my God.
The camera is right up in her grill.
Yeah.
Her face covers half of the screen in so many scenes, and it's just her looking and her look. It's amazing.
Her eyes, just the intensity behind them, the emotion, the mixed emotion behind it. You know, there's like so much stuff going on, and you can see it on her face. It's so impressive.
And Blue Jasmine, I went into it pretty much sight unseen. I didn't do any research. I watched a trailer. The trailer doesn't give away anything, really. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't give away anything.
You just see who's in it.
Yeah, that's about it. So yeah. I didn't know what it was about. And it's about a wife who's married to, she's married to an investor. Tycoon, I guess, one of the higher ups, the one percenters, percenters. What the hell?
The one percentile.
Yeah, one percenters, people. God damn it! Here we go. Yes, so she's well off. She's wealthy. She's privileged.
Yes,
and husband gets locked down for whatever that goes on with the powers that be, you know. We've seen it in the news time and time again, and she's on the other side of that fence, and she has to, shack up with her sister, who's not so well off. And it just kind of shows her decline, or trying to, not just that, but it shows her trying to adjust into a society that she is not accustomed to.
Right.
And she doesn't like it.
No, she can't handle it.
Friggin' bit. She does not like
it. She doesn't fit in quite.
And it's funny because it's Woody Allen. The way he directs this film, it flashes forward to the present day and flashes backward to the past. So it's going forward and back in a blink of an eye, which I liked a lot. I almost got confused a couple times. Because it was so well done, and I'm just like, all right, but
it was pretty seamless.
Yeah, it was seamless. That's the word. Seamless. Got to write that down. The overall, though, the direction, yeah, it just well played to the T, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, think about those scenes.
I mean,
so many different things stand out. I mean, of course, Cate Blanchett's performance. Alec Baldwin is always great. He's just good to watch. I don't think he was used to his
full potential.
No.
It was more about her.
He was supporting.
Yeah.
He was definitely, and you know, he fits in. He's just fun to watch. He's always sweaty.
He fits that character perfectly, yeah. His look and his sound.
But you're led to believe that he's the ultimate, well, I guess he was a douchebag, but he wasn't, you know, King Doucherino. I mean,
he wasn't the best dude.
But he didn't flaunt it. He, like, kept it at bay.
He didn't flaunt it?
No, he kept it at bay.
Did you see the houses he had?
No, I'm talking about, like, his douchebaggery.
She was just blind to it. He totally was hitting on other women in front of her.
She chose not to believe it. even when she questioned him. So, people, if you haven't seen it, now let's not get too deep into it.
I don't want to give away everything.
I don't want to be spoiler alert guy.
That's true.
I don't like spoiler alert guy. Spoiler alert. What the hell does that mean? All right. All I'm saying is, if you want to see a well acted, well crafted, well written movie,
check
out Blue Jasmine. I mean, it's got a phenomenal cast. We were joking going into it. Instead of writing the name of the actors, just put everyone.
He did. Everyone.
Everyone. That's all you have to put. I mean, it's got Alec Baldwin. Who else is in it?
Oh yeah, Peter Sarsgaard. He's great.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of films.
This picture does no justice.
It's got Andrew Dice Clay.
Oh, your boy. You loved when he came on the screen.
He can act.
He's doing pretty good. I liked him.
I mean, he was in like that. He was the first quarter of the movie. It was Dice Clay.
Yeah.
What?
This is his picture.
Dice. What type of hat is that? I don't know. Well, why has he got that on IMDb?
I don't know. Augie.
Well, yeah, Dice Clay plays Augie, so it's Cate Blanchett's character, her sister's husband.
Ex-husband.
Yep. And he does a very well job. Very, very well done. Something like that, I'm trying to say.
He does a good job.
Yes. I think I would have liked to seen more of him.
Yeah,
I didn't think he. I've never thought him as a serious actor, but he delivers. He delivered a serious role. I mean, did he not?
He did. It was sad because
I didn't think he was Dice.
No, well, in the beginning when he first came on, yeah, of course you can't ignore the voice. But
the character with the clothes and the glasses and the members only jacket and the JCPenney striped shirts,
he was convincing.
Beige, a lot of browns and beige. Colors, you know, just like regular Joe, regular dude, you know, working class man.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he played, I thought he did a good job.
Yeah.
Who else is in this film?
Louis C.K.
Yeah. Yeah, Louis C.K.'s in it. A film basically about a lot of people getting over and using each other and just, it's a reflection of society. You know, a certain part of society, but people that we know. And for me, it hit home in a lot of different ways. I mean, I'm watching this film and I'm just like, a lot of it just made me cringe just because I think of my childhood and going back. And you know, like when I was little, I grew up in Flint, Michigan. And you know, we were just, you know, regular people, just regular folk, a little house, nothing big, but so in the late 70s, my dad, he blew up. You know, he came into a lot of money in the corporate world and rode that wave of success. And we moved around different places. Like, we lived in Denver, California, Marin County, which was featured in the movie. The suburbs of Houston. And just a huge wave of success. You know, as a child growing up in that, it was just like we were on vacation. My mind, we were on vacation. But you get used to that lifestyle, you know. You get used to dining out and, you know, flying all over the country and living a certain way. And when my parents split up, It was strange. It was really bizarre because we went from, it was from one extreme to another. And this is the reason why I'm telling the story is because it kind of parallels the movie where it's one extreme or the other. And there's nothing in between here.
Yeah.
You know, she was on one end of the spectrum and then she's, boom, she's like, she's in, you know, I wouldn't say it's a hood, but, you know, for her, I guess it felt like it was. Yeah. So I thought about that and I thought about my mother and her struggle. And I remember, and she reminded me of my mother in a lot of ways when she went through, when my parents split up, it was tough to watch, tough to see, you know, and the scene when she comes back to her sister's house and she's got the fine clothes and the jewelry. And it reminded me of my mother in a lot of ways because when my parents split up, like, we just took what we had and we left. I mean, it was that we had, you know, a nice car and nice stuff, but just no home, just trying to find your way. Yeah. And when Cate Blanchett's character, Jasmine, was trying to find a job and she was trying to find her way and she's breaking up, just breaking down, and you could see it in her eye. And I've seen that look, and it's amazing because I was thinking of my mom when I'm watching this, like, you know, what pushes you over the edge? What the people that go through this every day, you know, so many people like my mom and even like this character, they go through it, but they don't crack up completely. You know, they dig in, they dig deep, they pull, you know, they get up in the morning, they find a way. And I was thinking about my mom in the picture. I was like, it's amazing because she didn't go over. She didn't do drugs. She didn't do, you know, a lot of alcohol. But she, you know, she had four children. She had to pull her, get her shit together,
yeah.
You know. It's and she easy. Did what she had to do, and she landed on her feet. And, you know, she had four boys that she had to, you know, keep in line. And so I was thinking about that watching this film, and it hit home. A lot of ways, just what goes on a woman's mind. Like, what? It's hard enough. And I can only say it just from observing and being raised by a lot of women. But from what I've seen, it's difficult to be a woman. Like, I've said it 1,000 times. I wouldn't want to be a woman. It's just no way I could. Yeah, you know, I got a hard enough time being a man. You know? Being a man has his duties, but, you know, we're pretty self-sufficient. We're self, you know.
Women are too,
pretty,
nowadays.
Pretty basic meat and potatoes to be a dude. Like I said, I can get by with just grunting. That doesn't work for women.
Nah, it's not as cute.
No, it doesn't work. You don't get a lot of dinner invites.
With grunts, and, no.
Yeah, it doesn't work too well in that department. So, yeah, I'm watching the movie, and she's, Cate Blanchett, she's just delivering. You could see it in the eyes.
I mean, even
you
can see it in the still right there.
You could see it in the hand. Yeah. That picture says it all.
Yeah.
You know? And she was just popping pills and
you
drinking
love the
vodka.
Haircuts in this film.
A lot of bad haircuts in this movie.
Yeah.
The men, a lot of bad haircuts. A lot of close shaved sides with long, were the just really bizarre bad mustaches, haircuts, a lot of pleated pants.
Yes,
you know, a lot of pleats. I don't like pleats at all. A lot of there's loafers, a lot of browns and tans.
Yes,
earth tones. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it also the movie also hit a chord because, you know, not too long ago, you know, I was watching a film, and I'm watching, and they're rubbing elbows with the elite, you know. And I remember being in a world like that in the wine business, and dining out, and I even mentioned one time I was like, there's a scene in there where they're having a dinner party, and everyone's laughing about empty thoughts and empty jokes, and I was like, you know, I used to dine like that, you know, once a week, well, at least minimum twice a month, you know, I'd be out. Wining and dining and stuff like that. And even though I knew it was part of the job, you get used to it. And you get used to a certain treatment when you go out. And you get used to a certain atmosphere and being treated a certain way. And it wasn't until a couple years ago, you know, when I chose to exit that lifestyle, humbling experiences. The past couple of years have been pretty funny. And just being out of that environment, and you're out there, and the scene when she has to take the job. She was thinking about taking a job. She was like, this is beneath
oh,
me.
Yeah.
What am I going to work, you know, in an office and sit there? And she's like, I got to learn a computer. And, you know, and I'm thinking, I'm like, yeah, welcome to my world.
Starting you know, all over.
Yeah. It's an amazing thing. And one day I'll share some of these stories with you guys, just because there's a lot that I haven't talked about that journey and that experience and that part of that change in the beginning and some of the pains and growing pains that I had to deal with. But now's not the time. But at some point in time, yeah, it's going to make a very fun story. But you do it. You got to pull your pants up and just.
Well, sometimes life doesn't give you that option, you know, or that choice. You just have to do it.
I don't know. I'm just thankful a lot of ways that I never had a dependency on alcohol or drugs or stuff like that, you know, because, I mean, every day you got to get up, man, people. You just got to, no matter what, how hard it gets, a death in the family, you lose your husband. Find out your husband's cheating on you or your wife, or just everyone goes through something. You're not alone. And this when you isolate yourself and you think that you're the only one going through it, there lies the disease. That's what's going to eat you from the inside out. And you're not the only one that's going through it. You're not. Someone else out there is going through it with you or have been through it. And you have to surround yourself with a certain group of people, quality people, even if it means downsizing the number of people. But I kept saying in this movie, I was like, she's brilliant, okay? And I'm believing this character. This character's so believable. I'm like, oh, you know, she lost all her money. She lost her husband. She lost everything. She's rock bottom. But there's still a way up because she doesn't realize how much she knows and the skill that she has. And I kept saying, why doesn't she just network? Why doesn't she just be a socialite? Why doesn't she just turn what she's
comes natural,
her experiences, yes, into, you know, that's her talent. That's her
gift. She saw interior design.
Yeah, she can talk the talk. She can walk the walk. So she needs to be out there amongst people. It's like she said in the opening scene, when she sits alone, she has these thoughts. And she has thoughts. These crazy thoughts. Something like that.
She didn't want to be alone. Yeah, she's like, don't leave me alone because I'm not
going alone. She isolated herself, though. But as soon as she got around people, she wouldn't shut up. Yeah. So she needed, I kept thinking, I was like, you know, if she laid off the drugs and alcohol and your choice of drug should be other people, you know, even if she has to drive an hour or 2 hours to be in that environment, believe you me, I'd do it. I could easily have said, and I'd given this advice to other people. I said, look, if you're in a rut, okay, if your plan isn't working here, but there's gray and darkness right, you know, on your doorstep, and drive 30 minutes or 40 minutes east or west or north or south and plant your flag there and see what happens. Make new friends, you know. Set up shop someplace else, because if you keep getting the same results where it's gray and dark, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change because you're surrounding yourself with the same energy.
Right.
Sometimes you have to uproot. Sometimes you have to do something different. Sometimes you do have to take a class.
Yeah, but a lot of people can't handle change.
No, you can't. No, yeah, it's scary.
It's got to, like, sometimes they need change to happen to them.
It's not going
to
fall on your lap. That's the harsh reality. Yeah. It doesn't fall on your... A husband's not going to fall on your lap. Like in this movie, she was banking on a rich husband, someone to save her. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Captain Save-A-Ho doesn't exist, you know?
Yep.
And if it is, it's going to cause issues. There's going to be some problems later because they're going to see you. And most of the time, you know, when Captain Save-A-Ho comes, he's not, when he finds out and sees you for who you are, he's not that accepting, or she, you know. Yep. You know, there's very few people that's going to stand with you. And you know, when you're down, they help you up and vice versa. So you have to... When faced with challenge
when faced with any obstacle in life, okay, you need to invest in yourself. And I've said this time and time and time again in the podcast. It begins and ends with yourself. From that strength, you're able to send out, you know, positive energy that other people are going to pick up on, and they're going to want to be around you. They're just, yeah. It's just how it is, you know. It's basic math, you know. No one wants to be around Debbie Downer. You know what I mean? You know, no one wants to be around, you know, the guy that's like moping around having the pity party. You know, that stuff get worse than fast.
Yep.
So even when you're down, though, like I said, if you're thinking and doing for yourself, you know, it's then and only then are you able to do for someone else. You know, you can't just jump back into a relationship and expect, you know, your problems to go away. So, and that's what she was looking for. And that's what everyone there was a dominant relationship theme throughout this film, mm-hmm. you know, people's dependency on each other, but one another, but, you know, just, you cannot ask for a better acted film. The performances, definitely outshines the body of work. But it is still a, you know, to Woody Allen's credit, well written, well crafted. I'm watching the film and I'm watching her, and there are some close up moments where she's just delivering the dialogue, and even the dialogue amongst the supporting actors was great. But mm-hmm. with her, the first thing I was thinking, I'd love to see her work with Quentin Tarantino.
Oh yeah,
I would love to see this woman in his hands, because he loves women. And he loves putting women, you know,
in powerful roles.
Yeah. And the way she just delivers, nails it.
Yeah, that would be really awesome.
It'd be a good film. No doubt.
I think now you put it out in the universe, it might happen.
Mm. But overall,
good pick.
Yeah, I enjoyed this film on so many different levels. Yeah, Dice Clay, I wanted to see more of him. I was glad to see him toward the end of the film.
Yeah, that was a powerful scene.
Mm-hmm. Who else is in this film that we saw?
Yeah, boys from Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah. It was like a reunion. It was like a reunion up in here.
Yeah, there was a couple of
them. What's the dude's name? Bobby? How do you pronounce it? Cannavale?
Probably. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah, he was in last season's Boardwalk Empire.
Is that the last season?
No, it wasn't. Well, this season is the new season. He was in last season. So yeah. If anyone hasn't seen it, you know, he's not in this season. So you can put two and two together and figure out what happened to his ass. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, it was him and the dentist.
Oh, yeah. The dentist plays Arnold Rothstein in Boardwalk Empire. So in Boardwalk Empire, yeah, it was. It was like a little reunion.
Funny.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of random. But I picked up on it.
He reminds me of... who's the guy the other guy who plays Arnold Rothstein?
I don't have it in front of me. There's not pictures. This isn't popular.
You got to scroll down. Oh, you're probably not getting a connection.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, he reminds me of the same dude that played in Men in Black. The little short dude. Huh?
He's a good... sleazeball.
But they look alike. They have that same look.
The face?
Yeah, yeah. Let me see if I can pull him up. This guy.
Is he?
How do you pronounce his name?
Michael.
Oh, they look alike?
Stuhlbarg. Oh.
Remember, he was the dude that could, like, transport in time back and forth? Kind of looks like GQ?
Yeah, that's not... That's weird.
That's not him?
Isn't that him?
Is that the same dude?
That's him.
Oh. He was in Men in Black?
No, I don't know if that's the... No. I don't think that's the same
dude.
That
is the same dude.
Then it's him.
Ain't that a bitch?
Because I couldn't even recognize him in this picture that they have in IMDb.
People, I'm
telling
black, you.
In the black, the dark... I didn't recognize him. That's why I was like, oh, I can't see him. He looks really different. A serious man. That was him, too. He really transforms.
How is this possible? Yes, we're delivering a bunch of jibber jabber right now.
Sorry,
but this particular actor that's in Blue Jasmine, Michael, what is it? Stuhlbarg. I guess that's how you pronounce his last name. You know, what are you gonna do? All these names today, people. He's in Boardwalk Empire, which is a movie
show, HBO show,
TV show that's on HBO. And he plays Arnold Rothstein. So, mafia.
Badass.
Yeah. Well, he's not really a badass.
Well,
and Arnold Rothstein wasn't really a badass coming up in real life. Arnold Rothstein, he fixed the World Series back in the day and, you know, ran with the likes of Charlie Lucky Luciano and Meyer Lansky. And he was part of that crew in their early day, but later got whacked out. He got clipped in real life. He was a thinker, so he organized stuff, and
that's right.
And kind of a brains of the early of the formation of the what is known as the mafia in America, which you know some say doesn't exist.
Oop.
So we'll stand by that if anyone's we're just saying what's on TV, people. That's all we're saying. But these actors seem to transform themselves. And I think that's how you know a good actor. Sometimes you don't even recognize him.
Yep.
Because I was thinking, I was like, he reminds me of the guy that plays in Men in Black. And lo and behold, he's the guy that was in Men in Black. And he's in, you know, several other films. He was in the Coen Brothers film that you just mentioned, too. A Serious Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the guy, he's got range. Definitely has range. And as with everyone else in Blue Jasmine, I mean, like I said, Dice Clay delivered it. And Dice Clay's, what was the other guy's name that was in Boardwalk? His boy.
Bobby. Oh.
With the mustache.
Oh, I lost it. Damn it.
That's all right. But all of them had a lot of range and delivered. Just an amazing, amazing film. And like I said earlier, the amount of films out there that are led by women, I mean, it's just a great time to be an artist, because so many people are getting an opportunity where it was once dominated by one group.
Yeah,
you know, and to see that people are starving for good quality production is a testament to the times that we're living in. Yes, we do have. The reality television shows that are out there. I almost stuttered again. Yes, we do have the shows out there, but I mean, everyone's got their audience. Everyone, you know, I can't even say it's a guilty pleasure. You know, there are things that interest me, like the Patrick Dempsey Le Mans racing that I was channel surfing, and I was channel surfing and I saw Patrick Dempsey, which I, you know. If there was someone else I like to have a bromance with, it's Patrick Dempsey. Because I was into Patrick Dempsey before most of the world even knew anything about Patrick Dempsey. He was in a film called Can't Buy Me Love, and as a young lad growing up, that was one of my favorite films. It was a nerd who paid. He was in high school, and he paid the it girl, the popular girl, some money to pretend that they were a boyfriend and girlfriend, and they would break up, and that would instantly catapult him into superstardom and
popularity.
Fame. Yes, right. And that's very important in school.
Yeah.
At least we're led to believe, and we think that that's the case. But it doesn't suck to have a little bit of juice in school. And he was the nerd. He was the lawnmower boy that he would cut the grass for people. You ever see this movie?
I think I have.
Yeah, no, you would know if you saw it.
Maybe.
So I could relate to him.
How old is it?
Oh, man, you're talking in the 80s sometime.
I probably watched it on a Sunday morning.
Back in the day. What did I say the name of the movie was?
Can't Buy Me Love.
Is that what it's called?
I don't think so. I think that's the the Tom
Cruise. Losing my voice.
It's late.
You need some whiskey, don't you?
No, I do not.
Give you some whiskey.
I don't want any alcohol.
No, it is Can't Buy Me Love. Just so
I can't look it up anymore.
No, it doesn't matter. Great film. And so I was channel surfing, and I saw Patrick Dempsey, and he was in a racing jumpsuit. Man, I need a jumpsuit. And I was like, oh, my God, that's Patrick Dempsey. And I've heard Adam Carolla talk about racing and Le Mans. Am I pronouncing it right?
No.
Say it.
Le Mans.
Le Mans. Mm. Le Mans.
I don't even know if they pronounce it as Le Mans, peut-être.
Le Mans.
Maybe. Start speaking French. No.
Go ahead. Yeah. And it's about the 24-hour racing that goes on there. Yeah. And it's different racing teams, and they race for 24 hours. So mm-hmm. one person would go for X amount of hours, and Patrick Dempsey. And why am I talking about Patrick? I can't remember what.
Bromance.
Bromance. But I wonder why I lead into that. Patrick Dempsey. Blah, 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 blah. Content. Reality. Yes. Mm-hmm. So people, the reality programming like that. Yeah, I find an interest in stuff like that. I mean, yeah, some people like the Kardashians. Some people want to have a bromance with Patrick Dempsey. Don't hold it against me.
That's so random.
Don't hold it against me. But it's true.
Surprised.
Don't be upset, Tom Cruise.
Oh, that's true. You're cheating on Tom.
No, I haven't had nothing with anyone. They don't even know I exist. Lake Bell knows I exist for a second. I'm happy. I'm beside myself that she retweeted my tweet.
That's awesome.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah, it is cool.
I like the time that we live in also that we can connect. Because there was a time when growing up that you couldn't even be in the same room with a celebrity.
No way.
You know what I mean? And now you can connect with them on any social media outlet and assuming that that's them. But I have a hunch she's smart enough and she's clever enough and quick-witted enough that she can handle her own Twitter account. And I think the world of Lake Bell. I think I'd like to have a, can't say bromance, but I'd take Lake Bell over Patrick Dempsey. I think I had to. That would be tough.
You have to think of that.
But I'm in awe, though. I'm in awe with all the films that I've seen. Starring these, amazing women and the programming that's being delivered that's out there. It's just good quality. I enjoy stuff like that. I like quality programming and writing.
Yeah, it was very well written.
Yeah, so that's amazing. Man. So with that, people, I'm gonna shut her down. And if you get a chance, go check out Blue Jasmine with the ever so elegant Cate Blanchett. I wish she was here because I would have her say, Domino, motherfucker.
Me and Kid Sensation at home, away from home, in the black Benz limo with a cellular phone. I'm calling up the posse, it's time to get to ripping. I freaking each sunroof to keep you suckers tripping. Everybody's looking, if you're jealous, turn around. The AMG kick keeps us closer to the ground. We're getting good grip from the 50 series tires. The Alpine's bumping, but I need the volume higher, cause the 808 kick drum makes the girlies get dumb. We're rolling Rainier, and the jealous wanna get some. Every time we do this, sucker MCs wanna battle. I'm the man they love to hate, the J.R. Ewing of Seattle. Picked up the posse on 23rd and Jackson, heading for the strip. Yes, we're looking for some action. The limo's kinda crowded, the whole car was leaning back. Maharaji's watching TV with two girlies on his lap. On Martin Luther King, the set looks kinda dead. We need a new street, so posse move ahead. And we all look kinda suave, the crew you can't forget. The Mix-a-Lot posse, Cole ripping up the set.
My posse's on Broadway. My posse's on Broadway.
Posse up.
My posse's on Broadway. My posse's on Broadway.
My posse was getting kinda bored. There's not another posse with more points scored. We don't walk around like criminals or flex like big gorillas. My homeboy Kid Sensation is the teenage lady killer. Maharaji's on the deaf side dancing like a freak. The girlies see his booty and the knees get weak. Larry is the white guy, people think he's funny. A real estate investor who makes a lot of money. Clacking lots of dollars, we all got gold. Cruising in his Benz and ain't got no place to go. Well, in 23rd, we saw nothing but thugs. The girlies was too skinny from smoking all them drugs. Cause the rock man got them and their butts just dropped. The freaks look depressed because our Benz won't stop. At 23rd and Union, the driver broke left. Kevin shouted, Broadway, it's time to get deaf. My girl blew me a kiss, she said I was the best. She's looking mighty freaky in a black silk dress. The closer that we get, the crazier I feel. My posse's on Broadway, it's time to get ill.
My posse's on Broadway. My posse's on Broadway.
Broadway and my wheels spin slow. Rolling with your posse is the only way to go. The girlies by the college was looking for a ride. We tried to pick them up, but we had no room inside. We put them on the trunk, we put them on the hood. Some sat up with the driver, they made him feel good. The posse's getting bigger, there's much too many freaks. My muffler's dragging, my suspension's getting weak. Now the freaks are getting hungry and Mix-a-Lot's treating. We stopped at Taco Bell for some Mexican eating, but Taco Bell was closed, the girls was on my tip. They said, go back the other way, we'll stop and eat at Dick's. Dick's is the place where the cool hang out. The swaths like to play and the rich flaunt clout. Posse to the burger stand so big we walk in twos. We're getting dirty looks from those other sucker crews. Kid Sensation dropped a 20 and didn't even miss it. Skeezer from another crew, she picked it up and kissed it. Her boyfriend's illin', he went to slap her face. My homeboy PLB, Cole sprayed the boy with mace. Cause I never liked a punk who beat up on his girl. If you don't have game, then let her leave your world. We took his girl with us, with him she rode the bus. She gave the boy the finger and the sucker starts to cuss. Boy, I got a death posse, you got a bunch of dudes. You broke cold crying about the Rockman blues. You beat up on your girl and now you're all upset. She's with the Mix-a-Lot posse on the Broadway set.
My posse's on Broadway.